It's time for Squawk Talk, talking business to business. Squawk Talk highlights business and business owners in the Atlanta area. Squawk Talk is brought to you by Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration.
Good afternoon. We're broadcasting live from the Eagle's Nest in the heart of Atlanta. Welcome to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. I'm your host, Kate Skirmerhorn. Joining me in the studio today is Paige Powers from Keller Williams Realty, David Post from Future Security, and Nate Norton from Yellow Van Handyman. Welcome, everybody. We're going to kick off the show today with Paige Powers from Keller Williams Realty. Welcome, Paige.
It's nice to be here. Thanks, Kate.
Glad you're here. Paige, why don't you start us off talking a little bit about Keller Williams and maybe a little bit about what you do at Keller Williams.
Okay. So Keller Williams Realty International is now worldwide. We have over 800 offices in the United States and Canada. Keller Williams is a little different from other real estate companies in that its intention is to be a provider for the agents. So we are all about training. We're all about helping them build their businesses. They're all independent contractors. And our job is to make their job successful, make it easier for them. I'm the team leader, office manager, in everything and anything for the Sugarloaf office here in Duluth. We have about 225 agents, and we are really pumped right now because we are selling more real estate than any other company of any brand in Gwinnett County. It's just been an amazing few months for us, so we're excited.
Well, and I know you do have a lot of energy in your office, and tell us a little bit about what's going on in the market today. I know you've seen probably a lot of changes going on. Let our listeners know what's going on out in the market today.
Okay. Well, it's pretty exciting, and I think that a lot of people would be surprised that are not in the industry to realize that inventory is at a very, very low point, meaning that listings are down. I'll just give you some statistics. There are over 11,000 realtors in Gwinnett County and less than 3,000 listings currently.
Wow.
So, and there are a lot of buyers out there. There are a lot of hedge funds. There are a lot of investors. And frankly, the inventory is a challenge. So while everybody's been thinking for years what a terrible time it is to sell, the reality is that it is now an absolutely great time to sell. Our average sales price is up. Our average days on the market are down. We're seeing multiple offers on many, many properties. So it's a great time to sell.
So those who were maybe thinking about a couple of years ago when the market dropped and they were like underwater now in their house, now may be a good opportunity to get to put the house in the market. What would be some of the differences someone who's considering selling from today versus, say, 4 years ago?
Well, that's a great question. 4 years ago, a lot of people just simply couldn't sell. They just couldn't price their houses low enough to generate any interest, and they were underwater, and they didn't have $20,000 or $30,000 to bring to the closing table. Well, those are those same people that had the desire to sell probably still would love to sell. They just haven't been educated yet to know that the sales prices are up. There's a lot more interest out there. So if you are one of the people that tried 3 or 4 years ago and were not successful, now's the time to call a realtor and try again.
And you mentioned you're the team leader for Keller Williams. Obviously, you still have your real estate license, but you're managing the team at the Sugarloaf office.
Yeah, my job is to train, consult for them. I gave up representing buyers and sellers when I took this position. And the reason for that is Keller Williams just doesn't think that it's the right thing to do to have a broker who is also a competitor.
Well, share with our listeners what makes the agents that you have in your office maybe a little different from some of the other agents. What kind of things do they do, kind of training do they go through that maybe sets them a step above some agents who maybe are independent or from another office?
Keller Williams actually has a whole department, and it's called Keller Williams University. And all Keller Williams University does is develop curriculum to train them. When the market began to shift, Gary Keller, who's our founder, wrote a book, and the book was called Shift. And because of that book and the training that went along with it, our agents knew what was coming. They knew what to expect. They were equipped with scripts and dialogues for their sellers and their buyers, and it just put them at an advantage over everybody else. And we continue to do that. The one thing that I know about Keller Williams is they continue to raise the bar. We hear it all the time. We have just the most professional agents out there, and it's because they're well-trained. And then there's this other little piece that I think is a little harder for people to grasp exactly, but there is a tremendous culture within Keller Williams. Keller Williams Realty International will tell you that their belief system is God first, family second, and business third. And we live by that. We're not ashamed of that. And we love each other. We're more of a family, it feels like, than we are. We're more than a business. We're certainly business people, and most of our agents are very entrepreneurial, but they also have a lot of heart.
And I have been to some of the meetings, and it's true. That's a great team effort that's in there, and it's such a lot of energy that's in your team meetings. Now, Paige, if somebody was out there thinking about selling a house, and there's a lot of real estate agents out there.
There are.
What kind of questions should they be asking when they're interviewing? Presumably, they should be interviewing real estate agents. What are some good questions that somebody should be asking when they're interviewing those agents?
Well, you know, I think that's a great question, because anybody can get their license that passes the test, and there are people out there that can drum up all kind of statistics about how great and wonderful they are and all the wonderful things they've done. But really, when the rubber meets the road, the agent who cares about you is the agent that you want to hire. You want to hire the agent that says, tell me what you want in a home, and then goes a step further. Well, tell me what's important about that. How does that work for your family? Or why are you selling? When do you need to be at your new, you know, location? Where are you going? What does this move mean for your family? Because if they can get to what you really need, and you know that they care about what you need, that's the person you want to hire.
Excellent. Now, you mentioned that you have over 200 agents in your office.
225.
What is their range within the Atlanta area that they are marketing to?
Oh, they're all over the place. I mean, of course, most of our business is in Gwinnett, but they're in North Fulton, they're in Woodstock, they're in Ellijay, they're all over the place.
So someone who is contacting Sugarloaf could find an agent just about anywhere.
Absolutely.
And so you mentioned earlier also Keller Williams International. Talk to us a little bit about what Keller Williams International is, and if somebody were having to move across the world, they could find a Keller Williams agent that could help them?
Yeah, I mean, it's really quite exciting. The first international office we opened, which was a real surprise to me, was in Vietnam, of all places. I just wouldn't have expected that to be the case. But as Keller Williams has done everything since they were founded in the early 80s, they would not go international until they had it perfect, until they felt like they knew exactly what they were doing. Because there are a lot of complications with different currencies and different laws and all those sorts of things. So they opened up to franchises worldwide probably about 3 years ago, and I would guess there may be five or six right now with a lot more coming on, but it's been very carefully thought out and planned, and we are right now the number one real estate company in America. So we've come up through the ranks. You know, we're relatively new, especially to the Atlanta area. We've only been here since about 1999, 2000. So we're certainly not the oldest real estate company. We're just the best.
And along those same lines, what kind of things can you attribute to the success of your office in particular? Because I know you're leading the Atlanta market in a lot of things.
I think the staff is so devoted to helping the agents build their business. It's a happy place. There is a lot of energy. And yet there is just a lot of business training. There's a lot of business talking. This morning we had a meeting, and our top listing agents shared what they were doing. And it's fascinating, because some people are knocking on doors, and others are using their sphere of influence, and others are calling expireds. It really doesn't matter what niche you fall into. What we do is we help them find that niche. And people want to be there because they know that if they're having difficulties, if they're struggling and they need some particular help, we're going to have, number one, the training, and number two, the desire to get them where they want to go.
And I find that fascinating, that you have agents helping other agents, that your agents in your office aren't competing. Well, they are, but they're not really competing with each other. They're really out there trying to help each other. Describe a little bit, paint us a picture of maybe a particular success story where you've had one agent helping another agent kind of grow and develop themselves in the real estate industry.
Well, I mean, the one that comes to mind really quickly was my own story, because when I came to Keller Williams, I'll just never forget, it was the first contract I had written as a Keller Williams agent. And there was a real complicated special stipulation to the contract. And I was sitting in the resource room, and I guess I looked puzzled, because all of a sudden there were three agents around me going, how can we help you? You look confused. And I said, well, I feel like they're asking me to be an attorney, and I don't know how to write this special stipulation. And they sat there for 30 minutes and helped me write the special stipulation. So that's just what we do.
And Paige, tell me, what is it that you love most about what you do over at the Sugarloaf office?
Oh, my gosh. I love our weekly meetings. I just really have a good time with that. Our goal at every team meeting is to have them leave knowing at least one thing that they didn't know when they came in. So it's teaching them something about their business. And, frankly, I love the people there. I love helping people succeed. I get up every morning, and what I think about is how can I bring value to the life of every person I come in contact with. So I get the opportunity to do that over and over and over, day after day. So I love that a lot.
Speak to us a little bit about some of the things that Keller Williams does to give back and to help contribute to the community around.
Okay. Really exciting day coming up on May the 9th. It's called Red Day, and that stands for Renew, Energize, and Donate. It is a day set aside by Keller Williams Realty International, where every office across the United States, Canada, and the world closes their doors for business and gives back to the community. So what we're doing this year is we're visiting Sheltering Arms, which is a daycare center, has about 136 family, children there, and 132 of them are on full scholarships. Many of those children, the only meal that they're going to get is the meal that they get at Sheltering Arms. So we're collecting clothing, food, and the most fun thing is we're just going to go over there and have fun with the kids, face painting and carnivals. So that's one thing we do. The other thing that's an Atlanta Partners thing, it's Keller Williams Realty Atlanta Partners, their eight offices, started our own nonprofit. It's called Cares for Kids, and we've helped over 12,200 children in our communities. We've done everything for packing book bags for kids that might not have school supplies, to taking care bears to hospitals. We've helped children go to camp, underprivileged children go to camp. We've helped children in 13 countries across the world. We've just done a lot of things for children, and that's an amazing thing.
Now, you've got a couple of drives, as I understand, going on in your office. If somebody were listening and they wanted to help contribute, you've got what could they do to come by and help?
They could come by and bring us cereal, rice, peanut butter, pasta, whatever kind of non-perishable foods. We've asked that they not have a lot of sugar content. So if they bring, cereal, it needs to be lower sugar cereal, because those kids don't need to be hyped up any more than they are. They've got plenty of energy without a sugar boost. But we also we're just determined to hand Sheltering Arms a check for $10,000, which will help many children with the scholarships. We're about halfway there, so if you'd like to make a donation to that, we would love to have your help.
That's fantastic. Now, Paige, if you have somebody who's listening who is either interested in, this is a two-part question,
okay,
somebody who is either interested in buying a house and they're looking for an agent, how would they go about finding that? And the second part of that is, say if we have a real estate agent who's listening to the show and they're like, I like what I hear about what's going on over there, and they wanted to have some more information about contacting you about Keller Williams, how would those two groups go about getting some more information about you?
Okay. They can go to email me at Paige, that's P-A-I-G-E, powers@kw.com, or they can call me at 678-775-2601, and I would just be delighted to help them.
And either way, if it was somebody looking for a house, you could direct them to the right agent, or even commercial, because you do commercial.
Yeah, we have a great commercial department. We have a great luxury homes department. And so if you were to call me and say, I want to buy a house, I would ask you a lot of questions, and I would handpick the person that I thought would be the best fit for you.
Great. Well, thank you, Paige. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
And our next guest on Squawk Talk is David Post from Future Security. Welcome, David.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
David, start us off talking a little bit about Future Security, what it is, what you do, and what your involvement is with the company.
Well, it's a 42-year-old security consulting and investigations company. And my main function is handling things in the like employee theft, helping companies set up policies and procedures, finding the right investigators to handle different situations. It could be a civil case. It could be a criminal case. Might need somebody to do an accident reconstruction. Could be a computer-related issue. And basically, my job is finding the right investigator to handle that situation. We also do a lot of management training, how to handle things like violence in the workplace, drugs, theft, and anything related to that.
And how did you get started in this business, David?
Well, back in the early 70s, I was a full-time police officer. Before that, I did security and investigative work while I was working my way through college.
And what are some of the different industries that you help or target or your clients?
Well, we've done everything from small retail operations. Matter of fact, back in the early 80s, I helped the Atlanta Police Department set up their very first commercial crime prevention program. And we do everything from helping folks realize what shoplifting is all the way to employee theft. We have clients that range all the way up to Fortune 500 companies.
And how did you get started in the business?
Well, like I said, I was doing security and investigative work almost when I was a kid. And then when I moved to Georgia, I did psychiatric work. And then back in the early 70s, I went with the police department. So things continued to develop, and in 72, I started the security and investigations company, and in 73, things were going real well, and I had to make a decision, so I turned in my two-week notice, and then in 75, I became a reserve, and I'm still in charge of the reserve deputies in Gwinnett County, so I still get to keep my hand in things and lock people up every once in a while.
Very nice. Now, do you also do, you hear a lot of companies that are hiring employees and they do background checks, or are you strictly doing investigations?
No, we do background checks. We do everything from personal interview to criminals, drug screen, credit checks, and we do backgrounds for other companies as well.
Okay, and in terms of investigations, is that more along the lines of like an incident has happened, or what? Just paint us a little bit bigger picture about the type of investigations.
Well, the consulting part of it is obviously to help prevent certain issues from happening and developing policies and procedures and train management folks where there's accountability. If there's an incident, then we go in and we'll investigate that, find out what happened, how it happened, why it happened, and where something fell through the cracks.
And tell us, if somebody were listening to what you're doing and they say, well, isn't that what HR does? What distinguishes you from the advantage of using your company versus just having someone in their HR department?
Well, the difference is HR people are HR people. They're not really investigators. And that's why part of my job, and I've been doing investigations and consulting for over 40 years, but when we have an investigation, I bring somebody in that knows how to handle that particular investigation. Like I said, it could be accident reconstruction, it could be a train wreck, it could be a major theft, it could be a computer-related theft, fraud, embezzlement, and you need people that know exactly how to handle those things. Years ago, a newspaper reporter did an article on me and called me the Dr. Welby of security. And most people, unless they're as old as I am, don't even know who Dr. Welby is. But my job is being a general practitioner. I know what my limitations are, and I know when I need to bring somebody else in that specializes in a certain area.
And tell us a little bit about what is your service area in the market that you cover?
Well, the Fortune 500 companies that we work for send me everywhere. Okay. Most of my work is throughout the Southeast. Obviously, a lot of work in the Georgia area.
And typically, how do you market yourself and to your clients and to find clients? Where do you go about marketing yourself in that regard?
Well, we do a lot of educational programs. We're involved in chambers of commerce. We do a lot of programs, help companies set up their own programs, and it's kind of a word of mouth thing. After 40 years, people will tell other people mm-hmm. about you. And a lot of these executives are in groups that they meet together. It could be Rotary, it could be an executive business meeting, and they all talk mm-hmm. because they all have a lot of similar problems. And then one of them will say, you know what, I know someone or a company that can handle that. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much what we do.
What have been some of the favorite classes that you've taught that you found to be the most effective, most rewarding for the companies that you've taught them to?
Probably relating to employee theft and how it relates to morale and productivity. People, you know, a lot of these companies will only look at employee theft as a number. You know, we'll allow 0.5%. What they don't realize is that 1.5% is going to grow. It may grow in terms of accidents, workers' comp claims, or other theft, or productivity. Because if one employee sees other employees stealing and nothing is done about it, then you have a morale issue.
Very true. Very true. And do you also do a lot with in educating employees and risk management issues?
We do.
And talk to us a little bit about how maybe you've seen that effect that you've seen with a company that's gone through that kind of class or an employee theft class and the effect that that maybe has had on those companies.
Well, one of the things that a lot of companies should be doing, and some do, is they let their employees know that employee theft is a major issue, and they will devise a vehicle for them to report anonymously other employees that are stealing or doing something that's injuring the company. And when they see those kinds of things getting handled, it says, we care about you, we care about the company, we want you to continue to grow, and it's good for morale.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in teaching those situations and find that employees maybe didn't even realize that things were theft that were, and that, like all of a sudden you see the eyes open, an employee go, wow, I didn't even realize that that was considered theft?
Well, you know, a lot of we can justify anything.
Right.
As long as you can justify it in your own mind, you'll feel good about it. And what we've heard over the years might be, well, I haven't had a raise in several years, or this person's been stealing, I've never taken anything. I got looked over for a promotion that I should have had. And they'll justify things in their own mind, and they may or may not consider it stealing.
They're just, I'm due because I didn't get what I thought I deserved.
Right. And there's, you know, there are so many different ways to steal. We've worked with companies that have crews that are out doing things. It might be tearing up cement driveways. It could be anything. And they might be out doing work on the side, getting paid on the side while they're using the company's equipment and on the clock. So if you can think of a way to cheat or to steal from your company, then it's happening somewhere.
And you've probably seen it.
I've seen a lot in 40 years, believe me.
Has there been anything in particular that you thought, wow, did that really just happen? Did they really just talk about that?
Well, I've seen stuff that you go, wow, because it's so stupid. You know, an executive making $250,000 a year steals a computer from a company, and he's also on workers' comp. And you find out when you're just looking at the workers' comp issue that he also took the computer to get it repaired. And now he loses his job, he loses his career, and may or may not go to jail depending on what our client wants.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, it's not worth it. It's really not worth it. And we see a lot of stupid stuff like that.
I can imagine. I've heard it said, you can't fix stupid.
You can't fix stupid.
Fix stupid.
You can catch stupid.
You can catch stupid, but you can't fix stupid. There's a lot of stupid out there. We're listening to David Post with Future Security. David, also tell me you're involved with an organization called Cares for Cops. Spend a couple minutes in talking about that.
Well, Care for Cops is a Georgia-based organization that I started 13 years ago. And our only function is to give money to the families of Georgia law enforcement officers that are killed in the line of duty. As I mentioned earlier, I don't know too many police officers or deputies that don't have off-duty jobs. And if they're killed, the off-duty job revenue stops, and it may take weeks or longer before any insurance payments are made. Meanwhile, you've got kids in school, they need lunch, mortgages go on, and it's a bad time. So within a few days, once we've determined that it is a line of duty death, they're going to have a check from us.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. So if somebody's been listening, one of our listeners is out there listening and they think, boy, I'd like somebody to come in and give us a seminar on something, or we need somebody that can be investigating some things. Maybe they didn't even know who to turn to. They knew they were having an employee theft problem, but they had no idea where to even start. How would they go about finding some more information about your company?
Well, they can pull us up on the website, or they can call our office. It's Future Security, and someone will be glad to talk to them.
Okay, and why don't you give us that website address?
Well, I have an email address. They can email me if they want.
We can go to future-security.net, future-security.net. All right, very good. Well, thank you, David, for being on the show. We appreciate you being here today.
My pleasure.
Our next guest is Nate Norton from Yellow Van Handyman. Welcome, Nate.
Thank you.
Start us off with telling us a little bit about Yellow Van Handyman and what you do there.
Well, Yellow Van Handyman is a franchise that originated actually out of Seattle, Washington. So you're going to find less in this area than you will out west. But Yellow Van Handyman's been around for over 10 years now. Our franchise serving North Atlanta has been around for just over a year. And at Yellow Van Handyman, we actually do a little bit of everything. So sometimes it's hard to describe when people ask you what you do. We do so many things that it's really hard to describe.
All right. And what is your role there, Nate? Are you behind the hammer?
I'm the franchise owner for North Atlanta. But, yes, as of right now, I'm still behind the hammer, part-time at least. And we have a group of other handymen that go out and work full-time behind the hammer.
Okay. And so you've got people need repair jobs in their home. They need a door hung. They need painting things in the house. What kind of services would you provide for somebody to call you?
Well, handymen, they're kind of an interesting niche because usually what we do is maintenance or repair. So your kids were messing around, put a hole in the drywall. We'll take care of that. You don't like the color in your house anymore, we'll come paint your home. You need appliances replaced. Don't like the light, you'd rather have a ceiling fan. Anything like that. Pollen season just ended. A lot of pressure washing requests coming in right now.
Okay. Are you finding that you have to go behind husbands to fix repairs? or the husbands call you in to say, look what I did.
How do I answer this without getting myself in trouble?
You don't have to be politically correct here. Names will be changed to protect the innocent.
We have had to go in behind people and do some repairs, yes.
Okay. you always just wonder, do you say, oh, honey, you did a great job, and then all of a sudden it looks a little different the next day. So,
Right.
So tell us a little bit about what's some of your favorite repairs that you like to do out there.
I actually like doing the appliance switching, updating. So you get to update the kitchen. That's usually a easy update to do. You're switching out the 1960s, 70s appliances that are the still avocado green or maybe the burnt yellow into something stainless or black or white. What I like about my job, though, is it's not always the same thing because I like variety. So, on the one job I may be doing, repairing drywall, painting. I may be switching out an appliance. I may be repairing a fence. I just like the fact that it's a variety.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get started in the business?
Well, actually, I grew up with a father who built and flipped houses. So until I was an adult, I never lived in a house that was completely finished because about the time it was finished, we moved, found another one. Then I went into the Marine Corps and became a plumber, water purification. From there, I worked at Fortune 500 companies as well, Abbott Laboratories, worked my way up as maintenance supervisor, and then worked for Kellogg's for a while as operations supervisor. So I've always worked in the maintenance field, worked my way up from doing it myself into management.
Okay. Now, I know there's a lot of things that need repairs in homes that require a licensing from plumbing and electrician. Are your crews licensed for those kinds of things, or are those the kind of things you would contract out to somebody else?
That's a great question. HVAC, we have just hired somebody that is HVAC certified and licensed. As far as plumbing and electrical, you're right, we're very limited on what we can do, but I'm in a networking group, BNI, which is a great group. So if I come into an area where I know that's my limitation and I can't go beyond that point, we really try to always refer out, I'm sorry, this isn't something we can do at this time, but here's a reference. Right. So that way we're never leaving them hanging.
And as a homeowner, I would much rather somebody say, I can't do that to the level that it needs to be done.
Right.
Let me get somebody who is going to be able to handle that for you. Tell us a little bit about the service area that you cover and the areas of town that you work mostly.
Well, we're based out of Lawrenceville. We service all of, I would say, North Atlanta. So basically from 20 North, we service. If it's a referral, we'll go anywhere because it's a referral. One thing we do is we call our customers members because we try to treat them like members of our family. So if a member refers us, that's somebody, you know, that's a honor. So we'll go out of our way to go out of our service area to help that person. And as a member of the family, I would treat them like I would treat my wife. If she called me in to look at something and it's something that does need repaired right away, I'll let them know. And if it's something that doesn't need repaired right away, I'll let them know this could probably wait a couple years. Here's the price that you'd be looking at, ballpark. Mm-hmm. So you can either do it now if you wish, or we could wait.
Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier that you were the franchise owner for Yellow Van, Handyman. tell us, what is it that you like about being the franchise owner?
Well, one reason I went with a franchise to begin with is starting a business and getting your name out there is very difficult. Even though we've been in the area still for over a year, people still say that they've never heard of you. Even though you do all the .com advertisements, you try to do all of that. I went with Yellow Van Handyman for a couple reasons. One is it's a franchise that's been around for 10 years. So if somebody wanted to go on the internet and understand Yellow Van Handyman, there would be a presence out there. And the second is I really bought into the way HomeTask, which is the parent company, they call their customers members for a reason. They believe in treating people a certain way for a reason. And that's the way I believe. So I was actually a bit skeptical at first. I flew out to Seattle to meet everybody at the home office, and they really do treat people that way, including their franchisees. They call us partners and not just franchisees. They don't take your money and say you're on your own.
Yeah, sounds like a good team.
It is.
Now, tell us if somebody says, well, I'm kind of handy, and I do things around the house. What's the advantage of hiring somebody from Yellow Van Handyman to come in and do the repairs for them?
Well, what we do is we'll screen our calls. So if somebody calls and they want a particular project done, we try to ask as many questions as we can over the phone. And we offer free estimates. So we'll send the person that we feel would be the most qualified for the things that are being asked out there to give the free estimate and to do the work. So we try to screen them so that way we know that they're going to get the quality of work that they expect and that we expect.
Okay. And obviously, if you're in the home, you're finding things and you say, do you ever find the opportunity where you have to say, hey, you really could use this, or point out some other things, repairs that you may need to refer to somebody else? Or
we do. We do it a little differently than some other companies. A lot of companies will promote upselling to their employees. So if I'm in the home and I see something, I need to upsell that right away for more money. We don't preach upselling, but being that we treat people as members of our family, we'll point out, hey, I happen to walk by your water heater and it's leaking all over the floor. Is that something you want us to take a look at, or do you want to call a plumber? A good example, I was in a member's home, and just driving up to the house, you could see her roof was in horrible repair. And one of the things I was fixing was soffit damage from water. So I told her, I said, hey, I'll fix this, but within the next couple of years, you probably need to get your roof replaced.
Mm-hmm. And that would be something you'd have to send for a roofer
right,
to do.
Yep.
Yeah, because as I understand, insurance rates on roofers are astronomical.
They are.
So tell us, what has been, say, maybe one of the most interesting things you've ever been called to fix? Has there been anything unusual or something that's been kind of fun or be like, wow, I didn't really think that somebody would call me to fix that?
I've had a few interesting calls. One was a person, she was she watched all the DIY shows and she really wanted to do the work herself, but she wasn't confident yet. So she had called me over to look at her space, and we looked at it. She told me what she wanted to do. And then instead of me doing the work, what she wanted to do is have me go to Lowe's with her and look at the material. So I spent a couple hours walking around Lowe's with her, and she would point out stuff that she liked, and we would go over, yeah, that would probably be a good fit for your space. And then she would want to know how it's installed, so we would go over that. So I found that interesting, and it was fun because she even sent pictures when she was done, so I got to see what it looked like.
A little consulting there.
That's right.
Yellow van consulting man.
So basically she just paid for time for us to talk her through it.
Okay. That's very interesting.
I'd say another interesting one was, I had a work order just come across, my page. So I went to this work order and it said, repair post. So I'm assuming it's fence post. A basement post. It was a person who had a burlesque pole installed in their home. Obviously not installed correctly, and luckily they didn't get hurt.
And the rest of that story is for another show.
So we get called for a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything, yes. That would go under the weirdest category ever. So, besides the burlesque pole, paint us a picture of who is an ideal client for you. If somebody's listening and they're hearing the kinds of things that you do, who is an ideal client for you? Somebody could say, I know somebody that sounds just like that, that needs your help. Who would be a typical customer?
Our ideal members tend to be people who are dual income families, or maybe they're single. So basically people that are working all the time. It's not necessarily that they can't do the work themselves. Most of them are more than capable. They just don't have the time anymore. Mm-hmm. And so they've had this list piling up for years, or they have things that need to be done. And what they need is somebody that's trustworthy that can just come in and get it done, and they know is going to do it right the first time and not overcharge them and try to upsell a bunch of stuff.
And tell us, what do you think separates you from the competition? Obviously, you're not the only handyman in Atlanta, but
that's right.
What tell us some things that might separate you from the competition?
So even to get into the franchise, we have to take a written test. We have to go through several phone interviews, and they want to verify that my background and my knowledge is true. I'm not just saying that, yeah, I know how to put a hammer and a nail together. And we do the same thing for the people I hire. I want to verify their background. I want to talk to some of their previous customers to make sure they did do good work. Like we were talking before the show, there are a lot of handymen out there. One thing that's going to set us apart, we show up in a branded van. We're called Yellow Van Handyman. It is a bright yellow van. And we show up in uniform, so it's not going to be somebody showing up in a pair of cut-off jean shorts and a t-shirt with a milk stain on it. So I wouldn't say that we're the lowest priced handyman service. We can't show up with a group of guys and do anything for $20, but we're also not the highest price. So we try to keep ourselves at least in the middle of the range.
Yeah, well, and I think as anybody's looking for those things, if they realize if you're a company, there's going to be some overhead, mm-hmm. and you're not just a guy and a hammer working out of his broken down pickup truck.
Right.
There's some reliability, and that there's some company background to stand behind your work.
Right.
And talk to us a little bit about that aspect of standing behind the quality of the work that you do. You have customers call back, and maybe they don't call back. Maybe you do it right the first time. But if somebody had an issue with something or something, how would you go about following up with that?
Actually, I haven't had any yet. So that's great. That means we're doing it right the first time. But we will warranty our work. So if we were to go work on something, let's say repair some siding, I'm just throwing that out there, and 3 months later somebody calls and say, hey, that siding that you worked on is now laying on the ground, that's a warranty.
Right.
And I'll warranty stuff up to a year for so.
Of course, you may get there and find that it's on the ground because they had termites. That was no fault of your own.
then that's what I would have to let them know, yes.
The wall. But. Yes. So if somebody's listening, our listeners are out there listening today, and they'd like to hire Yellow Van Handyman, or they just like a little bit more information about you, how would they go about doing that?
Well, they can call 770-225-2055 for our number, and they will get a hold of one of our great staff members. They can go to www.yellowvanhandyman.com, and if you put in your zip code, it'll pull up a handyman available for you, and right now that's going to be our franchise. Mm-hmm. And those are two great ways to get a hold of us. They can email me directly at nathan.norton@hometask.com.
Okay, great. Nate, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Nate from Yellow Van Handyman. You've been listening to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. Special thank you again to my guests for being on the show, Nate from Yellow Van Handyman, David Post from Future Security, and Paige Powers from Keller Williams Realty. I'm Kate Skirmerhorn with Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration, taking care of all your floor cleaning and restoration needs. Listen to this show and other Squawk Talk broadcasts at squawktalk.businessradiox.com. Until the next Squawk Talk, remember, when you're ready to get the job done right, let's set the eagle in flight.